Welcome to the final episode of the Swiss Insight Podcast in 224. Two times world champion and nothing less than silver and bronze at the Paralympics in Paris. Our Swiss side pro athlete Florina Rigling shares her journey in Paris cycling, the impact of adaptive technologies on her performance, and the emotional challenges she faced during competitions. Sit back and enjoy. Hey Florina, thank you so much for joining us in our little podcast living room. How are you doing? Are you still in off-season or are you already back at training?
Yeah, first, hi. Thanks for having me. It's really a pleasure for me as well. I would say I'm back in training. I had my test yesterday for my performance, like so that we know again where we are. So it's getting serious again. And I think I'm really into training again, yeah.
Ah, okay. Okay. So you don't had that much of a long off season this year or?
No, not really. Maybe a bit different. I did some time off the bike. I think that's really important for me as well. But then I had a lot of stuff here to do and I'm just finishing my master's degree at the university.
Okay.
So I'm still a bit kind of, I have to stay here, but it's only kind of 2 weeks to go and then I'm free.
Ah, nice. Sounds good. So you're now finishing or are you already finished now, your master's degree?
No, I'm finishing. I have one course that I have to finish and then I'm done.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. Good luck with that.
Thank you. Yeah.
Your journey in paracycling is remarkable, like with multiple world champions over the years. For example, also 2 Paralympic medals this year in Paris. What would you say was the turning point that made you realize that parasport and especially cycling could be your life's calling?
Well, I think it was a bit gradual getting into paracycling. I didn't really plan to I wanted to do paracycling. I would say it was even the other way around. It cost me a lot of motivation to apply to parasports because I wasn't really sure if that's the place where I belong to. But I did it, and then it was really thanks to the coaches who were so motivated and kind of supported me very well. And then more and more, I really saw that that's really what I was looking for, that I have something to go into really deep, that I don't have, for sure, I have boundaries, but in the end, it's a bit myself that is able to define these boundaries. And I think that's really what was interesting for me.
Okay, okay. And at what age did you start cycling?
I started cycling like every child, I would say. I learned cycling around the age of 4 or 5, like when normal children do it as well, or everybody does it. And then I didn't really cycle a lot. I cycled, but not too much because I had to have brakes within my pedals. So if you pedal backwards, you could brake because I couldn't brake with my hands. Mm-hmm. And then you could only have 7 gears. We had a special kind of shifting from the Netherlands that we could get, that I have at least 7 gears. But yeah, in Switzerland with 7 gears, it's not so much fun.
But yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, like, with 7 gears in Switzerland with all the mountains and stuff, it's like hard. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But nevertheless, I had a basis there and I think I did a lot of other endurance sports. And then later, I realized that I can also use the normal brakes kind of, because also the technical progress that was there. Mm-hmm. I could shift differently and that allowed me to buy kind of normal bike, which I then used a lot. I did a lot of indoor cycling. And I think now in parasports, a lot of stuff is coming together that I kind of did before, but I can kind of use it in a different manner. And so, yeah, in the end, I think there's also a lot of luck that you find this passion, but it's really my passion and my lifestyle today.
You already mentioned that there's a lot of coming together actually in para sports, like setups and gear and everything. And you've collaborated with ETH Zurich on adaptive technologies like custom 3D printed handlebars and shoes, and with Swisside on your aerodynamics. How have these innovations impacted your performance and comfort as an athlete?
Well, these innovations are huge for me. They have a big impact. Starting with the handlebar of the ETH Zurich, I mean, that was a game changer because it allows me to cycle more safely. It's also more comfortable for me, which is also very important that you feel comfortable on your bike. And moreover, I really gained a lot in aero. So I kind of Yeah, I think there we made a big step forward, but also with Swiss side. I mean, aerodynamics is so important in cycling and in parasports as well, having these special issues with adaptations. So we need to make my adaptations more aero. And I think that's also really interesting. And also there, I mean, it's also about normal aerodynamic improvements on the time trial bike, like every triathlete or cyclist does have to do. And I mean, there you gain a lot. So I think a lot of the success that I had recently was also that we really invested a lot in the material that allowed me to ride more comfortably, but also more aero.
Yeah. Yeah. And would you say that all this, when it came together, was like had a huge impact? Like, was there a wow moment, like when you sat on your bike and you thought like, oh my God, I'm super fast?
It's funny. For example, with the handlebar, it's always something different. And sometimes it's really, you're not used to it. So first of all, it's always a bit uncomfortable. You don't feel so secure. Yeah. And then you have to really be really aware. You have to give yourself some time. So it's not like you sit on a bike and feel like, oh my God, that's so cool. There are some of these moments for sure. But with a lot of these big changes, you just feel uncomfortable.
Yeah,
but
true.
I think that's something that is really normal for me in my everyday life. If I start something new, it's normally not the case that I feel like it's working for me, because there's hardly ever the standard solution. So that's maybe something I'm a bit used to, and I don't kind of question myself immediately if it doesn't work. And I think that's helping me also here in these processes. But in the end, it's really helpful also to look back. If you see what you changed and that you gave yourself this time, then you see that you really made huge progress, and I think it's really also thanks to the people who are supporting me here.
Yeah, and it's so true. You have to adapt to new positions and everything for a long time sometimes. So, did you feel like this year in Paris or at the World Champs in Zurich, for example, that there was a point like when you thought, okay, all these changes had such a big impact that, for example, that you look forward to the future, that you are even doing more and more aerodynamic gains out of all of these collaborations with Swissride and the ETH Zurich, for example?
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's a huge part of my motivation. I really like to see what you can achieve by working hard, by investing. Also, if there's sometimes a bit step backwards, step forwards, but in the end, if you see that huge direction, and for me, it's really that overcoming. And that's also something that is maybe that I got used to in my everyday life, like to get used to uncomfortable situations and make it more comfortable in that uncomfortable situation. So it's normal for me that it's not comfortable, but it's okay. And I think that is really motivating me. And in the end, it's really when I'm at the start line, for example, in Paris or in Zurich, then I want to be 100% convinced and be comfortable in my position and be like, I did everything that I could. And then it makes me also proud that gives me the confidence looking back, like I invested a lot in aero. I did all these tests. I did all that training. So it's a bit, you have to get to that state, but to get there, it's often really uncomfortable. But what helps me is really experience, knowing that my team around me is helping me to get there. It's just okay that now also when I start training again, I'm not in my best shape, but it's okay. I have the confidence that I'll get there again with their support.
And that's the champion's mindset, I guess. I really think so, because all of the time you are committed, like overcoming all of these challenges to perform at your best, and you have your team in your back, and you're doing it all over again, you know, like every season you have to start again from a point that's definitely lower than when you're winning medals or something. And then, you need to put yourself into the right mindset to get on top again. And that's amazing. It's so great.
Yeah, but it's also really a learning process. I mean, then you have that trust that it's going to change again and that you will get there. And I think the restart in training is always so hard, because you kind of, when you were the last time on the bike, you were probably in your best shape.
Yeah.
And you go again on the bike and you're probably in your worst shape.
How can I ever ride that fast again?
Yeah.
We wanted to take this little break to thank each and every Swisssider out there for listening to season 2 of the podcast that makes you faster. If you enjoy this podcast, please like, share, subscribe, and give us a 5-star rating on your favorite platform. This will really help us a lot in getting the new season up and running in 2025. And now let's get back to the talk with Florina. We just talked a bit about the world champions in Zurich, where you won double gold. And that was also like a bittersweet moment in your career to the loss of your teammate Muriel. And you dedicated your medals right after your races to Muriel. And I think the emotional challenge to get on that start line, like fully motivated and fully committed, was like huge. Can you tell me, how did you manage to channel the emotions and perform at your highest level?
Yeah, it was a huge challenge, like having these positive but also so sad emotions. Mm-hmm. And then for me, it's always I reach out, talk to other people. I need the exchange. I have my sports psychologist, my family, which really helps me to talk them to them. Also, I need to kind of separate these things, like giving the room to these sad emotions, but also then kind of leave them a bit on the side, having focus. So yeah. I really decided for myself, am I capable to do the race, to find that focus? Because in the end, it's also necessary just to do a safe race. And with the knowledge, kind of knowing that Muriel's family wanted us to race.
Okay.
Kind of thought, okay, I think I'm capable to do that race, racing for her. And yeah, on the bike, sometimes it's nice to feel that again. I think it's for a lot of people, but you really kind of can maybe empty a bit your mind, or you kind of find a bit the freedom with yourself and everything. And it also proved a bit that again for me on the bike. I just feel free and I can ride, and maybe it also helped me kind of process all these emotions a bit.
Yeah, it's always a kind of therapy to ride your bike. It's the same. I have the same thoughts, because when you're sitting for hours in training on your bike, you are in your mind. You cannot do anything about it. You can listen to podcasts from time to time, of course, but it will be annoying at some point. And you just want, and you can listen to a podcast, of course, only when you're riding indoors or something, because it's super dangerous when you're riding outside with a podcast. But yeah, that was my initial thought. After the race, I felt like, okay, this could have been also like some kind of therapy to do it. And also to win this medal then and dedicate it to her is like, yeah, to all of the dark side, it has some light in it, I think. And that's a cool part.
Yeah, I mean, for us it was also kind of to give some light with sports again. Yeah. It's really a good opportunity to go forward again. And but of course it was really difficult for all of us.
Yeah, of course. It's always hard after a topic like this to just move on, because we're talking about tough times, and tough times are different from pro to pro, I would say, because that is definitely a special situation that you've been through. But how do you find balance in your training and your life?
Well, balance is a huge topic for me. Also stress management. When I'm talking to my psychologist, it's a lot of stress management, actually. I have so many different things that I have to tackle at the same time, which I also like as a challenge. But so balance is really important. And balance for me, I need recovery, which I find, for example, outside in nature. I really love it to be outside, working in the garden, kind of mushrooming. I don't know, just be outside with the family, go for a walk with the dog. I think that's important for me. Having my rhythm, I really need my sleep rhythm, I think. I always realize it if I don't have it, how important it is for me.
Yeah.
And overall, I think it's also really also the team behind, thanks to my team, my coaches, which I just really trust them. And I think that's necessary for me, because there are these times where it has to be hard. And it's also okay to be tired. And having that confidence in them, like, it's okay if I do that interval today, even if I feel really bad, if it's maybe not the best, but knowing that it's not going to harm me, like, long term. And I think there it's there I'm really thankful for their support, like having that discussion. Also, of course, always looking at my everyday life. I mean, it's impacting my performance if I have a lot of stuff going on. Besides, maybe we have to decide that we do a bit less or do it differently. But yeah, there it's really the exchange that is helping me to tackle all these things.
Okay. And have you something like a ritual or something to get balanced?
For me, it's like having these small moments in my everyday life. So it could be that I'm standing on a bus station and the sun is shining, and then closing maybe your eyes for a moment and just enjoy the moment. Because, yeah, then you also get more aware of having a break. And I think I need these mini breaks, or being aware that it's a mini break. And that really helps me to get into balance again.
Ah, okay. Yeah. These little breaks. In the last podcast, I had Patrick Lange, and he also said like he is enjoying some time with his friends and with his teammates. And he's also going for a beer from time to time to find these little moments.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess that's super important to have family in the back and a good team in the back. And like you said, you've managed it for yourself perfectly when you can just stand in the sun, close your eyes for a second, and then you are with yourself. That's cool.
Yeah, but it's really the environment, I guess. And then there I'm also investing a lot, having good people around me. Yeah, because it's so essential. They're helping you in your good times, but also overcoming difficult moments, and makes life much easier having a strong team behind you.
Yeah, of course. You are an advocate and you're fighting hard for equality and for inclusion. What would you say, or what changes would you like to see in the representation and support of pro athletes globally?
Well, my dream is really just equal opportunities. So for me, it was a huge privilege, which I really appreciate a lot, with working, for example, with SwissSide, because I think it's exactly this, having the same opportunity to do error testing, to improving your material. And there, I mean, for me, it would be an example having pro teams that might support one or two para athletes, because the needs are so similar. So, I mean, I go also to training camps. I have the same bike issues and stuff. But at the moment, I do a lot on myself, which is also really cool, because you kind of have the freedom to choose. But a lot of the time, I would be also thankful just to share. And it's maybe the small things also in the evening that you sit together, that you are discussing the stuff that is kind of happening to you in your training or so. And I think that's really a win-win situation on both sides. And I had these moments, which were always really cool. But I think I would love to have like a bit of a normality also, that we don't really have to discuss it, so that we just live
it. Okay, yeah. So that you don't have to, like I said, in the parts of the question, that you have to fight for it, or that you have to do more to get the same opportunities.
Yeah, for me, I really like investing a lot, but I think it's a bit, how to say, I would love to... It's finding the balance. On the one side, I'm a para-athlete and I'm proud being a para-athlete. But on the other side, I'm an athlete and I'm just wanting to be an athlete like everybody else. And it's about performance and not about para-performance. And at the same time, of course, I'm advocating for para-athletes and finding that balance, that I don't have to play always like I'm the para-athlete or I'm normal athlete. I'm just an athlete. But of course, I have attributes that makes me different from somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that's a cool bottom line. You're an athlete, like, full stop.
Yeah, of course. I think if we get there, that would be really cool.
One question I really wanted to ask is, do you have any advice for young para athletes that you wish you had given to your younger self?
Yeah, maybe don't hesitate to do it. I was always a bit... my sister used to row, and we used to watch a lot of athletics, and I was really fascinated. But I always thought something in me was like, you probably won't gonna make it because of your handicap.
Yeah.
And in the end, later I made that step and I tried to realize it still. And I think I should have done it a bit earlier.
Okay.
But you could also say maybe you wouldn't have done it. like you do it at the moment if you would have done it earlier. But on the other hand, I think that you just really listen to yourself. What are your dreams? And then trying to realize them. Even if some people might say, no, that's not going to happen. That's not possible. Mm. Or why do you even, is it really necessary that you have to do it now? Do you have to, if, for example, if I wanted to knit, and you could easily say, it's not necessary. I mean, you don't need to be able to knit for your everyday life. But I wanted to do it, and we found a solution, and now I can knit. But I think it's really just to commit to your dreams and try to realize it. Because I think even if you don't realize them, you find, on the way to get there, you find all the possibilities or alternatives, which you may also like.
Yeah. All of these steps are turning points, or could be turning points, in somebody's life. So
yeah.
Yeah.
But of course, it's also really having the environment and maybe also work on creating the environment that is supporting you. And sometimes it's difficult because you might also need to say to somebody, okay, thanks for your help. But I think, we go different ways because you need that passion, you need that interest, and not that everybody's having the time and having that interest, which is also totally fine. I think that doesn't have to do something with you being a para-athlete.
Yeah, true.
But I think you maybe need to invest a bit more.
Mm. What's next for you?
Yeah, first of all, finishing my studies.
Yeah, of course.
I think that's gonna be a big, big step for me, then being really free. And then I'll start training hard again. Or I will go somewhere warmer.
Oh, yeah.
And then we will see. It's a bit difficult for us at the moment. Our calendar isn't really defined, definitely, at the moment. So you have to stay flexible. But there's a lot of stuff going on. Like, I have to invest in my material. Again, I see a lot of possible stuff that we could improve. Shoes, aerodynamics, as always. Bike setup, biomechanics, strength training. So it's really a chance now for us also to change things, because next year isn't so important. Mm-hmm. And we just made a list of what we have to do over the next 4 years.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you have to prioritize a bit. Mm-hmm. You can change basically one thing a year in one area. But I'm really looking forward for these improvements, or trying to improve it.
That's super interesting. So you're from a pro athlete view, you when you're starting, like, you at the Paralympics and at World Championships and winning them, you are already focused on the next Paralympics. And that's like something like the big goal, and you have like small steps in between, but they are not like this necessary or this important for you. Or
yeah, exactly. For me, it's like cool knowing that I'm gonna invest for years. It's funny, when I was in Paris, I missed the podium like with 0.3. And what helped me the most is really looking forward. Like, so cool. I have 4 years to improve, to really work on myself hard.
Yeah,
I think that's really, really the thing that is always pushing you forward.
Mm. No, I found it interesting, because for me as an amateur athlete, it's like I'm always focusing on the next race. But for you, of course, it's like it's the big goal is to be on the podium at these big races, and to keep the most motivation high. Like that's the thing I would say is the most difficult part, or would be the most difficult part for me when I would think about, okay, in 2 years I try to do something, you know?
Yeah. I think that's so important why we also talk a lot about it in our team. Like, we have that big goal, but for me it's really the process of getting there, and that's what I'm looking forward to, seeing what we can improve. And also, for me, it's more easy if we design these goals within the team, because then I think they don't create pressure on me. Then it's more like, oh, okay, my coaches think it's achievable, because otherwise they wouldn't kind of define these goals, even if they are challenging. And then I need that plan, like long-term plan, but also day-to-day, because I'm in my everyday life, I really just focus day-to-day nearly.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of, I can afford to do it because I know that there is someone in the back doing the long-term plan. And I just have to follow the baby steps without having to look very far, but knowing that the direction is going to be the right, even if you just look in front of you.
That's super interesting. And that's a wrap. And I think that was super interesting and super fun to talk to you. So thank you very much for taking time, and we wish you the best preparation for next season ever, and some major setup changes inside of the next Paralympics and the next World Championships. And thank you so much, Florina.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.